off the microphone so you could take a breath.
Oh,
yeah. What? Yeah. So anyhow, I guess we
never to mention that in the air.
You're right. What is that stuff? What am I hearing?
What stuff?
I'm hearing news. It must be cracked open. Anyhow, we're going to start the show officially. 3, 2, 1.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSVO Radio.
Okay, well, good morning, Monterey Bay, Central California. The world. Why should we exclude the world? You can hear us on the internet at KSCO.com. Welcome to the Saturday special with MZ on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. We haven't done a crossfire program in a long time, and I don't think this one's going to be one either because we're not going to get the guests on together, but it's going to be fun and controversial. Stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Suppose you owned a piece of commercially zoned property and wanted to build a branch of your retail business on that property. You had the money and your plans conformed to all the zoning laws of the community involved. But a group of neighbors, a large group of neighbors who didn't particularly like you, banded together to stop you from building your project. But even though some people didn't want you around, you still wanted to build your project. So then the city decided to condemn your property via eminent domain, force you to sell it, not to build a bridge or highway, but specifically to ensure that you never built your project. What would you do? Well, let's see what Walmart and the city of Hercules, just north of Berkeley, do to each other. Find out all about this fascinating case on the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on We Proudly Exclude Stupid People from Listening Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. All right, so what if we don't get them on together? Still going to be a great program.
Of course.
Yeah. All right. Gail Connor is an attorney specializing in eminent domain issues who represents the city of Hercules, who ain't going to be pushed around by Walmart. Who isn't going to be pushed around by Walmart, yes. So let's bring Gail on and welcome him to KSCO. Gail, you're on the air. How you doing? You have been a very, very busy man lately because you've been interviewed by everybody from Bill O'Reilly to the BBC and now KSCO and who knows, and Chronicle and who else?
And, you know, I think the reason that it has, it's the confluence of two very controversial subjects. Ever since the Kelo decision, the United States Supreme Court's decision in Kelo versus the city of New Haven, there's been a tremendous amount of controversy surrounding the power of eminent domain. And it seems that wherever Walmart goes, controversy does follow. And
it didn't used to be that way, am I right? I mean, it seemed to me that when Sam Walton was alive, there was always a lot of positive. There was a lot of positive news that people who, you know, salt of the earth, working types, were suddenly millionaires when the stock went public, and so a lot of nice, heartwarming stories. But in recent years, Walmart, public opinion towards Walmart has gone from largely positive to largely negative, it seems.
It would seem that way, and the hearing on the adoption of the resolution of necessity in Hercules the other night certainly brought out a lot of people who felt very passionately about the effect that a Walmart would have on their community. Saying that, I do need to clarify one point here, and that's this. The 17 acres that Walmart purchased last year, last November,
mm-hmm.
came with an existing approved set of plans. This parcel was part of a much larger redevelopment area that had been blighted for years. It was historically they made black powder munitions there, and then they made fertilizer there. And this property had been very, very contaminated, very, very blighted, and sitting vacant for many years.
Uh-huh.
Redevelopment agency, with active participation from the public, has numerous workshops, public hearings, public meetings, works with consultants. And the people of Hercules working through the agency developed a vision for how they wanted these parcels redeveloped with the assistance of the city. There was going to be public assistance in ensuring that these properties were developed in a way that fulfilled the vision of the people of Hercules.
Right.
Now, part of that vision was a residential village-like development that was very pedestrian-friendly. And that has actually gone forward, and construction is almost completed. That new residential village was to be connected by a footbridge across Refugio Creek to a neighborhood shopping center. The neighborhood shopping center was designed in a way to ensure that no big box could come in. The largest footprint of a building there would be no bigger than 64,000 square feet. Big enough for a grocery store, way too small for a big box. It was very intentional to preserve the village-like atmosphere of this new development.
And with Walmart, within Walmart, there's big box and there's bigger box and there's biggest box, right? They have these various different sizes of Walmart. They've got super centers and so forth, right?
They do indeed. They've come in with two different sizes proposed for this property. The first one was about 142,000 square feet,
mm-hmm.
and the second one was about 100,000 square feet. Neither of them are even close to what was approved for this property. And I have to say, this was not an instance where Walmart had owned this property for many years.
I'm happy you're straightening that out, because, you know, the promo that I did, which is designed to get people to listen, might have had an inaccuracy in it about it conforming to all the zoning requirements. Maybe it doesn't. Is that right?
It does not conform to all the planning requirements. That's true. And that's been a part of the problem.
Okay. Well, then that makes it, I don't know where I stand, and I can't wait to hear all the sides here on the radio program today. So, how did you get involved?
Well, I'm a partner in the firm of Preston Gates and Ellis in San Francisco. We do a lot of real property work, a lot of eminent domain work, a lot of work for city, local, state governments in helping them to acquire properties and helping them to develop projects, all the way from stadiums in Seattle to public infrastructure in Los Angeles.
Not to interrupt, but the Kelo versus City of New Haven, I think it is, must have been, it must have had the result of being a windfall for you and your company and your specialty, right?
Well, oddly enough,
you must be getting pretty rich now.
No, oddly enough, that decision didn't change any laws in California. In California, California redevelopment law already permitted the condemnation of property for economic redevelopment purposes, so long as it was a finding that the property was blighted. So there has been no change in the pace of redevelopment in California, at least, since the Kelo decision.
Okay. Well, okay, thanks for making that clear. Now, I visited the site day before yesterday, and it must have been cleaned up. I mean, because it didn't look blighted to me. I mean, there was nice, it's like a grassland now, right?
Oh, yes. That neighborhood, that area now is becoming a very, very desirable piece of property, and the properties around it are becoming very desirable. But you have to understand that this is after years and years of planning and work and development and efforts by a lot of people.
When was it that Walmart first became interested in the property? Is it a couple years ago? Is it 5 years ago? Is it 6 months ago? What?
Well, Walmart had approached the prior owner about having a Walmart store on the property. And the reception that the city planners are looking at the plans was not terribly favorable for the reasons that I've just enumerated. Last November,
just didn't conform to the plan that had been in effect, or that had been under development for several years.
That's right.
Okay.
But last year, Walmart took the step of actually purchasing the property. So in November, it purchased the property, but it took the property subject to these approved development plans, and actually subject to an agreement, a development agreement that the prior owner had entered into with the city to develop the shopping center.
When you say subject to, it generally means they're not going to close unless and until they get the approval.
No,
they took it anyhow, knowing full well that what had been approved for the property that they now own was not what they wanted. And they were hoping and still hope that they can change that.
That would appear to be the case. I'm sure that the Walmart spokesman would articulate slightly differently, but I tend to agree with you. I think that's a fair characterization.
Okay, and we tried, by the way, yesterday, unsuccessfully, during most of the day, Rosie and Rick tried to get in touch with somebody at Walmart Corporate in Arkansas, and without success. So, you know, unfortunately, we don't have a representative from Walmart for you, ladies and gentlemen, on the program today. But we do have someone with a different perspective from Gail here, scheduled to be with us starting at 11:30 today. Anyhow, I didn't mean to interrupt here, but let's continue with what has happened and where we're going, we think.
Okay. Well, let me, eminent domain is very controversial right now, and let me kind of give you a quick overview of what that involves.
Great, thanks.
Eminent domain is the power of the government, whether it's the federal government, the state government, the city government, the county government, to take private property for a public purpose so long as just compensation is paid to the property owner. And just compensation is not what the government says it is. It's not what a court-appointed expert says it is. It's what a jury says it is. A property owner has a right, a constitutional right, to a jury trial on the issue of just compensation when property is taken for a public purpose.
Wow.
Now, the concept of a public purpose in the redevelopment context is really an exercise in participatory democracy, because the Supreme Court in the Kelo decision declined to adopt a definition, a restrictive definition of what constitutes a public purpose. What the court said then and what they've said in the past is that a good deal of discretion needs to be left to the people of a particular community to decide what is a public purpose for their community. Now, generally speaking, redevelopment is a public purpose, but exactly what that means is left largely to the people of the community. Now, what that does is it gives a small town like Hercules, that after all has no more than about 25,000 residents, an ability to plan for the rehabilitation of blighted property and gives them leverage in negotiating with very large behemoth corporations like Walmart that they might not otherwise have.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. Now, when you were discussing what the meaning of eminent domain is or has been traditionally, I couldn't help but flash back on, pardon me, something that's very close to me. My family owned my mother and father owned two pieces of commercial property in Santa Cruz. Prior to the earthquake, one piece of property was taken via eminent domain. A portion of a property was taken via eminent domain, and I don't recall them ever being given any kind of a jury kind of a consideration or a trial of any kind. The city was just very, very heavy-handed, and they had an appraiser that said the property was worth, like, you know, one-fourth of what anybody else said it was worth. Our family had an appraiser said, and this was just a very small piece of property for, you know, it wasn't a whole huge amount of money, but it was the principle of the thing. And that's my only direct, involvement with eminent domain. Anyhow, long story short, a judge, not a jury, went with the city's appraiser and paid like one third or some incredibly small amount, less than what comparable real estate values said. They said, "Hey, we're the city; we can do whatever we want. How do you like that?" So,
well, yeah, I can't really speak to what happened in that specific example.
What
I can say is that the courts have universally held that the right to a jury trial on just compensation is a constitutional right that cannot be abridged Now, I don't know what happened in that particular situation. And
maybe it was just ignorance on the part of our family to not demand a jury trial. And if you're not going to demand what you have the right to demand, then tough. I guess you deserve to be mistreated, I suppose.
Well,
I don't
perhaps
know.
There was no... Perhaps... Well, I don't know. I can't speak to it. I'm
sure.
Sorry.
But anyhow, over the years, it seemed to me in my younger days, eminent domain, when I first learned about what the term meant, and I talked to people who had been involved in having their properties taken via eminent domain, they were generally speaking pretty happy with, they weren't necessarily happy with having to give up the property, but at least they were happy that they were compensated fairly. And it seems that in recent years, things have become a little more crooked, like in everything in our world and in our society, you know?
Well, I think what maybe has given eminent domain a bad name, at least in the redevelopment world, is there have been, look, I'm the first to admit it, there's been instances where the power has been abused. There's been instances where one business has gone to a city or a redevelopment agency or other government entity and asked them to use the power of condemnation to get rid of a competitor. That's an abuse. That is absolute abuse, and the courts have said, no, that can't happen. That type of activity, though, does give the whole process a bad name.
Right, and it happens quite a bit, does it?
No, not so much because there have been a number of decisions where the courts have clamped down on that sort of activity.
Uh-huh.
That you can't use your leverage, your political leverage, with the government as one business to try and take property of a competing business simply so that you can expand yours at the expense of your competitor.
Right,
you can't do that, and yet efforts in the past have been made to do that very thing.
Gail, do you typically represent municipalities, or do you sometimes represent property owners?
Oh, I represent both sides. I represent property owners, and I represent municipalities.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen with regard to this particular case? Any idea? Because it sure has gotten national attention.
Well, it's gotten national attention, I think, for the reasons that we discussed at the very beginning. But there's another component to this that makes it very unique, and that is that this historically big national retailers like Walmart would come to cities like Hercules and say, we would like to come into your redevelopment area. We would like for you to use the power of condemnation to condemn other commercial properties so that we can assemble them and build our big box.
Really?
It's been very controversial, and yet there is a history of that.
Uh-huh.
This is the flip side. This is the people of Hercules, not another developer, not a competitor. This is the people saying, look, we have a plan for this property. The plan is not a big box. We want you, our elected officials, to exercise the power that you have under the Constitution and under the California eminent domain law to take this property to ensure its development in conformance with our plans.
Uh-huh. It's fascinating. You know, before we did this program, I was very much being a fierce property rights advocate. I think that is the underlying the cornerstone of our freedom is private property rights. But and I've always felt that if a person conforms to the zoning requirements and so forth, that there is no way in the world that the neighbors or the city should be able to prevent him or her from doing, wants to do with his or her property. Now, in talking with you about this, I've got to admit that I'm getting swayed a little bit here because it's a different animal when there is essentially a zoning change. When someone goes and buys a property expecting to change the zoning, hey, you know, buyer beware. I mean, you be prepared to be disappointed because I want to make sure that I understand you correctly here, that I'm properly understanding you. What I said in the promo is absolutely wrong then. I mean, it did not meet all the zoning requirements.
It did not meet all the planning requirements, no.
Oh, no, zoning is what I said. I didn't use the term plan.
Yeah, I did, because it's, in this instance, well, there's different ways that communities can exercise control over how properties develop. Zoning is one of them. But if property is in a redevelopment plan area, you can actually have a much more detailed and specific use designated for a property than the general use is permitted under a zoning ordinance. And in this instance, there was a very detailed plan and an agreement to build that plan.
Mm-hmm.
And when Walmart bought the property, they took the agreement, and they knew what they were getting themselves into. And then there's all
you knew this job was dangerous when you took it.
Well,
that's from an old cartoon. What was that? Captain? No. What was it? Besides, you knew the job was dangerous. It was Super Chicken. That's what it was. Besides, you knew the job was dangerous when you took it. I like that.
I must have missed that Saturday morning cartoon.
I received an email this last Wednesday that caught my attention. I get a lot of junk emails, and I don't want to change my email address, mz@ksco.com, because I like it. But I must get over 1,000 emails a day. I'm just on a bunch of junk lists, but some of them sneak through the spam filter, and this was one of them. The subject says, Walmart has a right to set up shop anywhere in America. And I'm gonna read. I don't like to read, but it's a short press release. So this concerns the gentleman who's going to be our guest next hour. In Irvine, California, residents in the city of Hercules, California, have no right to prevent Walmart from opening a store there, said Andrew Bernstein, senior writer for the Ayn Rand Institute. This is a quote. Walmart violates no one's rights by opening stores on its own land and should be free to do so, even if local residents are against it. Walmart deals with its customers and employees by voluntary means. Walmart offers products that people can choose not to buy and jobs people can choose not to take. That millions shop in Walmart's stores and thousands line up for job openings in the company is evidence that huge numbers of people find value in dealing with Walmart. While local retailers may indeed lose their business to Walmart, they have no right to be protected from competition and from Walmart's ability to offer lower prices. Likewise, while local residents may be inconvenienced by a surge in traffic or by the sight of a Walmart store, they have no right to prevent Walmart from opening a store in their city. If the residents of Hercules or any other American city don't want Walmart to succeed, they should not shop in its stores. And that's from Dr. Bernstein, who is the author of a book called The Capitalist Manifesto. And he will be – I tried to get him on for the whole program, but he's got family commitments, as you do, for next hour.
I do indeed.
So, yeah, so we're gonna just do it separately. But what do you think of that? I mean, I guess it's real. Do you agree with what he says, except that it doesn't really apply in this instance?
I fundamentally don't, and here's the reason. The right to use your property as you see fit has to be balanced against the right of the community to plan consistent uses, to plan uses that are not detrimental to the health and safety of the community. Let me give you an example. Many towns have designated historical districts, and the uses there are very, very constrained because they're trying to preserve the character of historical buildings, the flavor of a historical neighborhood. Now, I think that even your next guest would admit that it would be inappropriate for a large retailer to try and buy up properties in a historical district and demolish the historical buildings to put a big shopping center there. That type of control, it would be appropriate.
I'm going to put it to him. I'm going to write that down. Okay. That's a great question.
I'd be surprised if he didn't agree. But there's a second point here. When property is declared to be blighted in California under the redevelopment law, what that means is that due to some historical factors, this property is just not capable of developing on its own without some governmental support. And that can be for a lot of reasons. It can be because of a series of old decayed buildings, as we think of in inner city blight. It can be because of contamination, as we think in terms of brownfields. It can be because there are a number of inconsistent and conflicting uses that are just holding the community back. In this instance, it was contaminated property and some old abandoned factory buildings out there. But nonetheless, the advantage of a redevelopment project area is that you're going to get the assistance of the government in developing the project. If you develop the project in accordance with the redevelopment plans, the government may actually help you by condemning property to help the project work.
And maybe kick in redevelopment funds.
Huh? Possible.
Yeah.
Or forgive certain
taxes,
infrastructure costs,
yeah,
that might otherwise a private developer might otherwise have to pay. In other words, you're going to get some help. You're going to get some incentive. But there's a burden that goes along with that. And the burden is you don't have an unfettered right to develop that property as you see fit. So to get those benefits, you have to accept the burden. And that's the trade-off in trying to develop in a redevelopment project area.
So if it wasn't for the fact that this is in a redevelopment project area, then would it be correct to say that you might well agree with everything that Dr. Bernstein said that I read in the press release?
Well, I'm not so sure that I would agree with everything, but...
How about the notion of private property? I mean, this is a favorite topic of mine, Gail, truly, because, you know, it happens in Santa Cruz a lot, and I might be in the minority. I may well be in the minority, but it turns my stomach to see people who get elected because they pander to the neighbors. You know, NIMBY type neighbors who don't want anything, you know, who don't want a vacant lot next to their property to be developed for any reason because they like having a vacant lot there instead of a house, you know? I would be the same way. I mean, if I live next door to a vacant property, I would much prefer for it to continue to be vacant and open space and so forth. But I could never live with myself, to try to oppose to put roadblocks in front of the person who's trying to build his or her dream house there. I mean, I just couldn't live with myself. Now, I think I must be an unusual type person because even if something is going to hurt me, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I think private property is so sacred that it should be honored. Now, again, in this particular instance, I'm happy we're having this program because it is not the Walmart thing is not what I thought it was. The Walmart thing is very different. It's something that, you know, they went into this thing with the understanding that it came with an approval for something else.
Yes, exactly. You made a very interesting point, though, about the sanctity of private property. And, you know, there's always been a balancing that has to occur in the law, balancing of protecting the right of private property and the right of ownership, and balancing that against the needs of society as a whole. Now, and that balancing act has been around for, you know, well, a long time. Let's think back to how the western part of the United States was developed. It was developed in large part as a result of the railroads pushing west. Well, how were a lot of those right-of-ways acquired? A lot of those railroad right-of-ways were acquired by condemning private property so that the railroad could, you know, go in a straight line and, you know, carry people,
sure,
and goods and commerce.
You have to. There's
country.
No other way, and that's no one can argue that that's for the good of the society in general, but not for the neighbors, you know, in the immediate vicinity. That's where I have a problem. There's no neighbor who's going to want to let anything be built if he or she can prevent it, and I don't think that they should have the right to be able to prevent it.
Well, elected officials do have to answer to their constituency, and if elected officials make planning decisions that the people, their constituents, don't like, the constituents can and do often vote them out of office.
Right. Okay, you're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special. We have special guest Gail Connor, who's an eminent domain specialist attorney from San Francisco. He is deeply involved in this very controversial Walmart versus the City of Hercules controversy. You're invited to participate. We're going to open the phone lines now, 479-1080 or 477-1340. We'd love to hear from you. MZ@KSCO.com is my email address, and 475-2967, pardon me, is our fax number if you want to participate via fax that Jay can pick up and read. By the way, Jay, are you there? I think it might be a good time to take a commercial break now. How many minutes do we have? Are you there?
Oh, breaks? We have about 5 minutes breaks.
Why don't we do that right now and just do that and make sure that the KSCO format change promo is in there about the new hours that we're opening up, please, if it is. And we will invite callers to call in and participate, because we're only going to have Gail with us for another 25 or so minutes, okay? So it's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, and the world. Stay with us. There's a lot more on the Saturday special ahead.
Around with broken sprinkler heads and smelly lawn mowers, weeds and dry patches make you scream, growling over your decision to put a plant the size of an elephant in the space the size of an African hedgehog, navigating your way through the maze of gardening and landscaping options and maintenance for your home or office really is enough to drive anybody wild.
Hi, I'm Randy Quilici, owner of Quilici Gardening and Landscaping. If anyone knows it's a jungle out there, it's us. We've been offering complete maintenance and landscape installation for residential and commercial properties since 1982. It's easy to let things get overgrown and out of hand and keep putting off adding that special water feature you've wanted for so long. Let us help by taming and shaping your landscape into something you'll be proud of. Call me at 425-5269 or visit us at QuiliciGardening.com.
Quilici Gardening and Landscaping, because without them, it really is a jungle out there.
Hi, I'm Adolfo Garcia, owner of Community Tree Service. We offer dumpster rentals, tree work, demolition, and free estimates. For any of these services, please go ahead and call my office and either talk to Regina or Naomi at 763-2391. Thank you.
Are trees around your house looking strange, leaning in the wrong direction, blocking your sunlight, in danger of falling? Take care of this and call us, the professionals, Community Tree Service. We're licensed, insured, and bonded. We offer free estimates and are ever ready in emergency situations. We take pride in being reliable and will accommodate your needs with safe professional service and advice. Call our office today at 763-2391 or from Santa Cruz, 426-6340.
Spending time in the great outdoors doesn't have to mean roughing it, especially when you have the latest camping gear from Outdoor World. A lightweight, ultra-comfortable sleeping pad, a weather-resistant tent, or a cozy, warm sleeping bag will make spending time in the great outdoors, well, great. Outdoor World has the latest gear for camping, hunting, or fishing. Check out the new drip coffee maker from Coleman, designed to fit on camp stoves, or the cool and sturdy stainless steel Coleman ice chests. You'll also find camp cookware, cots, lanterns, and accessories. Going fishing? Check out Outdoor World's selection of fishing poles, waders, boots, and tackle boxes. And duck hunters will love Outdoor World's selection of hunting rifles, ammo, gun safes, and camo clothing. With so much gear in one place, you're bound to find what you're looking for, and maybe something a little extra, like time. Shop Outdoor World in Monterey on Fremont Street, on River Street in Santa Cruz, and on 41st Avenue in Capitola. Look for their ad in the Good Times in Monterey County Weekly. Outdoor World. We gear you for adventure.
I have a job to be done. It may not seem like a big job to some, but I built this business from the ground up. It's a big deal to me. That's why I went with Granite Construction for my parking lot, retaining walls, and site development. They delivered value and got the work done on time and on budget. That's covering my bottom line.
We have a job to be done. This is our home, and we wanted quality workmanship. We're talking curb appeal. It has to be beautiful. Professional and friendly expertise was what we got from Granite Construction. They've got the people and resources, and they got our job done right away.
This big project at work is important and a big reflection on me. I can't lay awake at night wondering how this job will go, so I call Granite Construction. Granite's people are backed by a culture of workmanship, safety, and quality that I just trust. And they have their own local sources for materials. Take no chances. Go with the best. That's my motto. That's project peace of mind. Call 1-800-GRANITE. What can Granite build for you?
Hello, all you beautiful people. This is your friend, Judy DeVilbiss. I would like to speak to you about some red warning lights. When you see a school bus, this bus stops, the red lights flash, That means stop. School bus, red flashing lights, stop. When you get up in the morning and you have an ache in your neck, achy fingers, a sore back, those are red lights flashing at you. Well, I want you to stop exactly what you're thinking, what you're doing, pick up the phone and call me at 888-352-7500 and let me help you stop your red light from flashing. Now remember, two safety tips. School bus, red lights flashing, stop. Achy neck, achy joints, any aches and pains, stop. Pick up the phone and call me, 888-352-7500. That's 888-352-7500. Do it now.
Great news! Our upcoming format change from mostly syndicated programming to mostly innovative local programming is already catching on, and we are selling out fast. Imagine having your own one-hour weekly talk show on 10,000 watt KSCO AM 1080 for only $450 per week. Talk to an audience reaching over one-third of California and throughout the world via our live internet stream. Use your show to build your business, advance your political or religious beliefs, get your candidate or yourself elected to office, or help get your initiative onto the ballot and passed. The power of talk radio and KSCO in particular is awesome. Use it and gain instant admiration and respect for yourself and or your cause. Own your own hour each week on KSCO AM 1080, the favorite radio station of intelligent people. Act now. Email me, mz@ksco.com, or leave a message on my voicemail by calling 429-2200. That's 429-2200. See you on the radio.
So, I guess we're back, I guess.
We is.
Okay.
KSCO AM 1080, the station for intelligent people only. Stupid people must tune to another station immediately.
Okay. It must be, it has to be, with that big sound it's gotta be, KSCO.
And there's 18 minutes left in this hour of the KSCO Saturday special. We will be on the air right up until noontime, as always. And also, as always, this is an audience participation call-in program. Please call us at 479-1080 or 477-1340 if you want to chip into the conversation today, which is about the topic of eminent domain, and specifically the Hercules, California city versus Walmart. And the neighbors are up in arms there and want to prevent that from happening. And we have Gail Connor, who is an attorney representing the city of Hercules, with us for the next 15 or so minutes. And now is your opportunity to call and talk with Gail and ask him a question about either the specific project we're talking about today or about eminent domain in general. How often is it that we have an eminent domain specialist on KSCO? So welcome back, Gail. You there?
Thank you. I'm still here.
Okay, great. We're going to lock in here and take our first call. I'm amazed that the lines aren't jammed, to tell you the truth, because I would have expected lines to be jammed totally for this particular to talk to you. But in any case, here's Gary from Live Oak. Let's bring him on. Gary, you're on the air with Gail and MZ.
Yeah, we've got a big problem here in the county with corporations tying up land for so-called the environment and so forth. And what they do is they run these consensus processes using about 300 people out of a county of 300,000. Outfits such as Land Watch, Packard, Sierra Club, O'Neill, and so forth. And they have far, far beyond the voice of the regular citizen. Do you have any advice or any experience with this?
Well, as I understand the question, you're concerned about various groups that are trying to have property designated as open space or park space or green belts or what have you.
For some reason, he hung up, and I don't know whether he hung up intentionally because he was finished asking his question or if his cell phone dropped down. I don't know which is which. But, yeah, that's what I think he's asking or was asking. So,
well, you know,
do the best you can with that.
Sure.
Unless Gary wants to call back, we'll put you back on.
Well, let me speak to the concept in very general terms. these are fundamentally political decisions made by elected officials, and elected officials do tend to listen to lots of different constituencies, and you know, an organized constituency with an organized voice, whether it's the Sierra Club, or whether it's the Chamber of Commerce, or whether it's a big corporation with its own PR department, these are all conflicting voices that that elected officials, you know, have to listen to, or they ignore at their own peril. And it's then a balancing act of how these officials choose to act, and they typically act in a way that they think is going to satisfy the voters, the people that put them in office, and the people that can remove them from office.
I'd like to think that that's true, and hopefully it is in most cases, but so many, you know, planning or zoning board meetings that I've attended, it was very, very clear that the people in charge had their minds made up, and they were just going through the motions, you know?
So, I mean, well, I'm sure there's lots of, you know, different circumstances, but in a way, this planning process is an example of, I think I said this before, participatory democracy. And, you know, conflicting viewpoints do get heard. And it's a fact of life, I suppose, that the more organized a particular group is in expressing its point of view, the more likely that point of view is going to be heard loud and clear.
Sure. Okay.
And, you know, there are, just as there are industry groups that organize to present their viewpoint, there are environmental groups and, you know, open space groups that do the same thing.
Uh-huh. Has this ever been tried before, this exact kind of a thing, or is this sort of new? I mean, is that why the Hercules Walmart topic or issue is receiving national attention? Because it seems to me that this is not a very normal occurrence.
Well, it's not unusual to have private property owned by a developer, owned by a corporation, owned by, you know, institution, to be taken through condemnation for redevelopment purposes.
Uh-huh.
I guess what is unusual is that the property owner is Walmart, and the property is being taken not in response to pressure from a competitor that wants to be there, but solely as a result of pressure from the people who want to ensure that their vision of the redevelopment area is carried out, and is carried out in accordance with the plans. So that's a little unusual, the David versus Goliath aspect of this. Usually the government is the one that's presented as the Goliath, and the property owner is David. So
right.
This is perhaps a reversal of that role.
For sure. Okay, 479-1080 or 477-1340, the phone numbers to call if you want to participate in this program. mz@ksco.com is the email address to use. You can use that anytime, but if you use it now, we'll read your email on the air. With Gail, and we do have open lines at 479-1080. Nick from Royal Oaks has been waiting for a while here, so let's put Nick on. Then we're going to go to Roger from Washington. Good. Now we're getting some calls. Nick, you're on the air. How you doing?
This is great, because the news about this thing in Hercules, it's exhilarating. It's good news. It's well in need. I like to view land as sacred, and the fact that this Memorial Weekend is, people have given their lives over land and on land. So we'd like to, in the viewpoint of people losing their people to go fight over land and other places, it comes us to settle down to what's going on. We have a point of view, and when it gets overridden, we have to look back and look at this monstrosity.
Well, Nick, I don't think that there's any question that the land will be developed if Walmart doesn't do what they want to do with it. Something else will be done with it. It's not going to remain
not
pristine.
It's the monstrosity. I think it's like a Jekyll Hyde from the Federal Reserve. That, you know, we can put a whole the space being taken up, and what Walmart? It's all Chinese goods and. To subsidize the lower price, the cheapskate is just getting in.
Uh-huh.
It's like a game, a war game, offshoot of a war game, and we're the warmer blood because we stayed home or at least survived to have the honor and truth to speak out And I've had the honor to just witness and not have to go to war and be protected from people all around. And,
well, I think
you could put so much in more in design into the property and work it out so much differently than just the box monstrosity. That's why I call it a Jekyll Hyde from the reserve, because the reserve, they're just pumping money into the economy to keep it flowing, and it's gone blindsided. And
okay. Well, Nick, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. We appreciate your perspective. Let's go to Roger from Washington. And I think this must be the Roger that I know, is it?
Oh, yeah. I'm sitting here doing my college work, listening to the radio in my ear here, and I just had to call in on this one.
Well, I'm happy you did, Roger. By the way, for those of you who don't recognize the voice, this is Roger Roberts, who's part of the team, the Wellness Hour with Bernie and friends, that we carry on KSCO from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. Saturdays. Great, great program that's on just a couple stations, two or three stations right now. But I think it's such
really good following online.
Yeah, and a wonderful following online about health. You are all guys who don't have letters behind your names, but you're passionate about health and nutrition and politics and medical politics, yeah, and so forth. But what we're talking about today is Walmart. So how do you weigh in, Roger, on Walmart?
Well, number one, I will not shop in Walmart. I won't even go on the parking lot. Because I think they're communist infiltrators myself. Sam Walton had a good idea that was perverse to me. He started out with bringing American-made goods to the public at a reasonable price. And then it just sort of snowballed from there. Now 80% of what he has in the store, it comes from China, and the other 20% comes from other foreign countries. And he doesn't have anything to do with America anymore.
Well, when you go to another store that isn't as big as Walmart, isn't a lot of what you buy in those stores?
What I buy there is because of them. I don't buy it if it says I won't even buy fruits and vegetables that say made in product of Mexico or product of Argentina or something like that, because I know what they fertilize their fields with.
Okay, so you don't like Walmart, but
I don't like Walmart. I don't like anybody that doesn't keep the local person in work, because, again, they're tearing down the work cycle from the top to the bottom. But my point that today on this subject is that what it comes down to is the arrogance of both the legal side of this and thinking that it's because they have enough money that they can force the people into doing what they want to, whether they want it, whether the people want it or not. And it's the legislation from the bench or whatever you want to call it, where 80 to 90% of the people say no. They're the ones that has to live there and put up with the traffic and everything that comes along with these things, the loss of businesses, all the local mom-and-pop businesses. There's about 60% of them go under whenever a Walmart comes in because they cannot afford to compete against China.
Well, is it for that reason? I don't want to put words in your mouth, and you'll stop me, I'm sure.
Okay.
But is it for that reason that you perhaps wish Gail Connor the best?
I hope he wins, because they knew coming in that this was zoned for, like you say, pedestrian usage, not big box stores, the huge parking lots, and all these other things. It was made for pedestrian usage. They wanted to keep it simple, and they wanted to keep certain elements out of their community. And that's their right as their community. There's nowhere that I can read in the Constitution where it says that the government can come and tell you what to do if the majority says no. But they do it all the time anymore, and people just so ho-hum getting used to it and letting them get away with it.
Then that's the end of private property rights.
Yeah, well,
because
private property rights is the main reason that we had the Revolutionary War in the first place, and the main reason the Constitution was set up. The government is not supposed to own or control property. Any way, shape, or form.
But it does.
The Constitution.
But it does, and it's called,
it does,
it's called police power.
They have the gun. You got to read Mao Zedong, the writing of Mao Zedong. He says all power in government comes from the barrel of a gun, and he's telling the truth. If you don't like it, just don't pay your property taxes and watch them come and run you off your own property.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But, again, what this comes down to is a matter of I got money. I'm going to buy me some politicians or whatever, and I'm going to force this on you whether you want it or not. And that's when I get my backup. If it was a few years back, we could do something about it. We don't have enough men anymore since they found their feminine side.
Okay. Well, gee, thanks for calling the Saturday special, Roger. It was great to hear from you.
You just keep me fired up enough to stay awake through this boring college course.
Oh, good. Okay, great. Well, you're listening on the Internet. That's terrific.
Yeah, I'm listening on the Internet while I'm supposed to be doing my college course here.
Okay, well, we're happy we're contributing to your future success here in passing.
And I do have a lot of numbers behind my name, but I don't use them. I don't use them because I don't think they're necessary. Anything I can learn, you can learn.
Uh-huh.
And anything you can do, I can do. It's just a matter of putting your head to the or your nose to the grindstone or whatever you and just go do it.
Gets back to those three words. Knowledge is power.
What they say is college nowadays is a job preparation. It's not an education. It's a job preparation.
Yeah.
And job means just bone broke. And I don't intend to ever have a job.
What does job mean? Just what?
Beyond broke.
Oh,
just about broke. However you want to put it.
Well, what is the? Oh, yeah.
you're not making enough money.
Right.
To get I sent everybody a letter out this morning from the thing they did on CBS last week,
uh-huh.
Where everybody, even in the middle class, is two paydays or less away from bankruptcy.
Yeah, I mean,
and there's no reason for that, except that the. We're cutting our throat every day with people pushing the middle class is losing the jobs to the downsizing on the top. They're losing the jobs to illegal immigration on the bottom. And in the middle, the people that are still working are have the whole family working now. And it's just like the old slave shops in the debtor's prison in back in the 1800s, where you have no place left to go.
Yeah.
That's the problem that I look at all the time.
Well, I appreciate your bringing your perspective to the Saturday special.
My perspective, most people think they call me a lunatic at large.
No. Hey, we got a great email here that I want to read. Thanks, Roger.
All right, bye.
Yeah, best of luck. Talk to you soon. And tune into the Wellness Hour with Roger and Bernie and the gang next Saturday at 5 a.m. Now, this is an email from Linda Velasquez, and it said, what people have against Walmart in the subject matter. You sounded a bit confused about why people don't like Walmart. Well, there are two main reasons. The first one, which I don't want to get into, is the way Walmart stores kill small towns. But also, you know that star between the words Wall and Mart in their logo? It used to go along with wavy lines, the whole thing being a reference to the stars and stripes, which in turn was a reference to the fact that Walmart in the olden days, made a big point of selling only American-made products. That was their thing. Now, a Walmart is basically a China outlet. I think that annoys a lot of people, at least those who have noticed the change. Many folks haven't a clue. And that's from Linda. Linda, thanks very much for emailing mz@ksco.com. Gee, Gail, we're in the home stretch, and when you can be with us, I want to thank you for being with us here, and we wish you the best.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed this last hour.
And, great.
Best of luck with the next hour. I will. I'll tune it in my car.
Oh, great. Yeah. You should. Well, I don't know if you'll be able to get us in downtown San Francisco, but going across the bridge or whatever, you should be able to pick us up pretty well.
Very good.
And you can always get us at ksco.com and download the podcast if you want,
excellent.
You can hear it.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed this discussion.
Thank you.
Compliment you on a fabulous show.
Appreciate the kind words. Take care.
Bye-bye.
There goes Gail Connor, attorney specializing in eminent domain issues, and he represents the city of Hercules with this Walmart controversy. All right, it's the KSCO Saturday special. We have line four ringing here, and Jay will probably pick that up. But we're right at the top of the hour here in about 5 seconds, so I'm going to tell everybody that you're listening to KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. It's 11 a.m. Here's the Fox News.
Both for central Indonesia rocked this morning by a devastating 6.2 quake.
All the Red Crosses have banded together. There are many on site here in Indonesia as part of the tsunami recovery effort.
Bonnie Gillespie of the Red Cross, many roads and bridges destroyed, hindering rescue and recovery efforts. The quake flattening buildings and triggering even more activity from nearby volcano Mount Merapi. More than 3,000 have been killed, thousands more hurt. Residents have already started digging mass graves. In Iraq, a tennis coach believed two of his players were killed for wearing shorts. Gunmen stopped their car and asked them to step out before shooting them. It happened a week after Islamic extremists put out leaflets warning against wearing shorts. U.S. Marines could face criminal charges in connection with the deaths of some two dozen Iraqi civilians last November. The incident still under investigation, one senior official indicating it's not looking good.
This investigation could lead to Marines being charged with murder for what a senior defense official says appears to have been an atrocity, the unprovoked killing of Iraqi women and children in the insurgent stronghold of Haditha last November. Also being examined, whether Marines lied to cover it up. In light of the allegations, the commandant of the Marine Corps has flown to Iraq to remind Marines about the laws of armed conflict and to warn about the risk of becoming indifferent to the loss of human life. At the Pentagon, Nick Simeone, Fox News Radio.
Missouri manhunt over.
They are demented perverts that shouldn't live.
That's Marsha Spicer's sister. Glad America's most wanted couple is in custody, accused of raping, beating, and murdering Spicer and videotaping it. The two caught in Missouri, a five-year-old girl with them.
Authorities say the girl was taken from her home in Pittsburgh, Kansas, and kidnapped across state lines. Police are investigating whether the girl may have been sexually abused.
Fox's Jeff Goldblatt. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree, and I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and when we do, it can be very hard for us to talk about it and get support because nobody expects a man to have breast cancer. But I know one place to get reliable, timely information about breast cancer. Breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet that translates all those big medical words your doctor uses into plain English. It helps you understand what kind of cancer you have and what treatments are out there. It helps you get your head together and make a list of questions for your next doctor's visit. And it gives you all kinds of other good information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org. The first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
They admit to mistakes, but President Bush and British Prime Minister Tony Blair both agree they're doing the right thing in Iraq.
Both men vow to keep their troops in Iraq until that government takes full control. To fail, says the president, would mean another fight in another place.
What you're seeing in Iraq could happen all over the world if we don't stand fast.
As for mistakes, Blair admits they all underestimated the post-war struggle.
We're always going to have to be prepared for the fall of Saddam, not to be the rise of democratic Iraq, that it was going to be a more difficult process.
And President Bush says we're still paying for the abuses that took place at Abu Ghraib prison. In Washington, Rich Johnson, Fox News Radio.
President Bush paying tribute to active duty military and veterans this Memorial Day weekend. He told West Point graduates that America won't rest until terrorist threats are removed. His radio address commending military efforts to establish democracy. Well, just days before the new hurricane season, new developments from last year's record storms.
In Mississippi, a federal judge ruling State Farm Insurance cannot enforce policies that exclude certain damage from Hurricane Katrina. The couple who successfully sued argued wording on flood exclusions is difficult to understand. Meantime, in Florida, the feds announcing multiple indictments under Operation Storm Chaser. More than two dozen people accused of hurricane-related FEMA fraud. Charges include submitting a false claim to a government agency, mail and wire fraud. The top counts carrying up to 20 years in prison. Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Gas prices may be topping off at nearly $3 a gallon in some spots, but Mantel Williams of AAA says that's not stopping us.
What we know is that historically, high gas prices alone do not prevent people from traveling. People may alter their travel somewhat, but historically it hasn't.
37 million expected to hit the roads this holiday weekend, while another 10% will fly. The remainder packing into trains and buses. I'm Lisa Carton, Fox News Radio.
And you're listening to KSCO AM 1080. It's 5 minutes past 11 o'clock. It's Jay Cruz, the look at your Central Coast weather forecast for this Saturday, May 27th, 2006. Tonight, mostly clear, northwest wind at 12 miles per hour with lows around 49. Sunday, mostly sunny, west winds at 13 miles per hour with highs around 64. Sunday night, mostly clear with northwest wind at 9 miles per hour with lows around 50. Monday, mostly sunny with highs around 63. And Monday night calls for partly cloudy with lows around 50. Stay tuned to KSCO AM 1080 for hour number two of the Saturday special with MZ. Stick around.
Hey, Jay, are you as surprised as I am about how few phone calls we got last hour?
Seriously.
Yeah. Are you are?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah,
it's too bad we didn't have both guests on at the same time because that heat, the friction will usually generate more.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, is it me? I mean, maybe I'm the only person who the property rights and
no,
the whole
everything you say is right.
Is important to, but or maybe it's the holiday weekend or something, but it just blows me away. I thought the phones would be jammed without my even putting out the phone numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I noticed.
Don't we have one of our regular callers that's like really would hate Walmart? Can we get one of them to call in and argue?
Well, I think there's a couple ringing now, so we'd be able to get, but I guess we will start the show. Maybe.
Yeah, let me use Roy Masters' technique. You're all too afraid to call. Okay, that's the problem. You're afraid. You're afraid of MZ. You're afraid of the power that KSEO wields over this district. And you know what? Hey, I don't blame you. All right? I would be scared, too.
You're too much. Uh-huh. That's wild. Okay. Well, you got three. It looks like you got the 479-1080 lines jammed already. That means 477-1340. Yeah. Roy's method, I guess, is pretty effective.
You're all scared. Hey, you know what? Hey, just go back. Just go right under the covers. Snuggle up under your electric blanket and enjoy.
Yeah. That's great. All right, well, let's
snorkel sticking out the edge of your blanket and just stay there all day.
We will start
order
the show.
Good times.
Officially, hour number two.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. Visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Okay, we are getting callers. It's true. We are getting callers, and we will get to the callers. But guess what? I mean, the order has come from the top. We must play Kay's commentaries right now.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO. Bye.
See, we got tired of playing Kay's commentaries during the 11 o'clock news. Wait a second. I have to stop here. Wait a minute. We'll hear. We got tired of playing Kay's commentaries during the news because people are going to the toilet, right? And we don't want anybody to miss any of her wisdom. And then last week or whenever it was, I foolishly did not play her commentary until almost the end of the program when everybody, well, who knows? Anyhow, this is the best time to play Kay's commentary, so we're going to do that, okay? And it's about 5 minutes long. Stay on the line, Billy Sunshine, Don, and someone from Selena. Here, I have to make the computer screen a little bigger so I can see. Oh, yeah, Mike from Selena's. But this will be good for everybody to listen to, okay? I mean, believe me.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
The first priority for President Bush during his second term was the need to repair Social Security, but it became clear early on that the Democrats would rather not deal with this pressing issue until they are in power, whenever that happens, so this issue is on hold. Therefore, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat. Let's get a bill started to place all politicians on Social Security. Our national lawmakers do not pay into Social Security. This program was not suitable for them. They were too important to settle for the meager benefits that are good enough for the rest of us. They felt that they should have a special program for themselves. So many years ago, they quietly voted in their own benefit plan. no congressperson has felt the need to change things. After all, it's a great plan. For them, it works like this. When they retire, they continue to draw the same pay until they die, except it may increase from time to time for cost of living adjustments. Even if one serves only 2 years in Congress, he still gets a salary of about $4,000 plus per month benefits for the rest of his life. For example, Senator Byrd and Congressman White, who are elderly, may expect to draw $7,800,000 each, with their wives drawing $275,000 each during the last years of their lives. This is calculated on an average lifespan of each of those two dignitaries. Younger dignitaries who retire at an early age will receive much more during the rest of their lives. Their cost for this excellent plan is zero, nada, zilch. This little perk they voted for themselves is free to them. You and I pick up the tab. The funds for this fine retirement plan come directly from the general fund in our tax dollars. From our own Social Security plan, which you and I pay or have paid into every payday and until we retire, which amount is matched by our employer, we can expect to get an average of $1,000 per month after retirement. Putting it into perspective, we would have to collect our average $1,000 monthly benefit for 68 years to equal the benefits of our Congress people. This thievery has been happening because we the people have allowed it. There's no way in hell or heaven or earth where this blatant inequity is justified. Frankly, Congress was voted into power to make laws to benefit all the people, not to help themselves to enormous perks at our expense. It's dishonest, it's wrong, and it needs to be challenged. Social Security could be very good if only one small change were made, and that change would be to jerk the extravagant retirement plan from under the senators and congresspeople, put them into the Social Security plan with the rest of us, then sit back and see how fast they would fix it. I wonder if this could be done with a national initiative. If enough people receive this message, maybe a seed of awareness will be planted and maybe good changes will evolve. Pass this around to everyone you know. Kudos to Sherman Weitzman, whoever and wherever he is, for exposing this issue with a solution. People power can make powerful changes. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Again, please pass this around. It will become an issue in the 2008 election. Let's all mobilize and do this because we're mad. And we will not take it any longer. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
Way to go, Ma. That was a great commentary, brand new, hot off the press. So welcome to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday special. It's 14 minutes past 11, and we can do open mic, or we can talk about the Walmart thing. We can do just about anything you want for the next 15, 16 minutes until our next guest arrives. Let's go back to the phone lines here. If you want to call in, by the way, we have an open line at 479-1080 or a number of open lines at 477-1340. Billy Sunshine, you're on.
Hey, buddy.
Hi.
Well, you know, I have to agree with Mom 100% again. And, boy, you know, when I have to agree with her, it's great.
Well, maybe you're coming around.
Well, I was thinking she's getting so much smarter in her old age. Well, it's one of those things, or maybe a little of both.
Okay, all right.
But I'm going to use her, the words she used to make the point about this Walmart thing for you, and tie it all together.
Okay.
She used words like, we the people have allowed it, blatant inequities. So let me talk about those kinds of things. You see, here's the problem with Walmart. I don't want anybody in my neighborhood as selfish as the owners of Walmart. It's not a, I understand your worshipness for private property, and I share it somewhat, not completely. But
you'll share it a lot if it's goring your ox.
Well, I know that's how you see it, and you know what? You're right, yeah. By and large. Here's why it's not just a private property issue, though. Because Walmart isn't just the, you know, when Walmart comes into your community, certain things happen. There's a certain amount of traffic. There's a certain amount of your neighbor's businesses who will close and suddenly be out of business. There's a whole bit of taxes that the employees soak up because they're so underpaid. You know, these big box stores are interesting.
What about Costco?
Yeah, I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But what I'm going to talk about right now is Home Depot. Because something very interesting happened on Thursday at Home Depot. They had their meeting, their stockholders meeting. And the stockholders said to the CEO, CEO, we'd like to discuss your pay with us because we think you're overpaid. Let me tell you about this CEO. He came in the year 2000. He's been there 6 years. In those 6 years, he's taken over $250 million for running the company. He didn't start the company. It wasn't his idea. He didn't risk anything. He just came and worked there. Oh, by the way, interestingly enough, well, why shouldn't he get $200, $300 million? Look what he delivered to the stockholders. Oh, wait. Since he's CEO, the stock is down 9% in 6 years. But this guy takes $200 million. And what was his attitude when the stockholders wanted to discuss it with him?
He must have been outraged.
He wouldn't talk about it. He literally said, I won't talk about this, and ended the meeting. You see, and this is what we're looking at with Walmart. Sam is long gone, and his children are among the greediest humans on Earth. They are all billionaires. If you want to know who the one family with the most money, it isn't Bill Gates.
It's not Gates?
No, it's the Waltons if you put them all together.
Uh-huh.
And isn't it interesting that while they're making billions, they're underpaying their employees? Your mom was talking about arrogance. This is clearly arrogant. People don't have to let selfish people into their community who are always going to, you know, worry about the last dime into their pocket. We don't need to put up with that. It's not a private property issue because they don't pay their people enough for them to make a living wage. You know, I think it's embarrassing to ask people to work a job and not have that job pay enough to live. I don't want people on welfare, but so when they really are willing to work.
Billy, why don't you become an employer and pay people fairly? Because you can do your part.
I am an employer. I let my wife keep half of what she makes.
Oh.
You know.
Okay.
And so that's the thing. The one thing that can let you off the hook, Mike, is that it's not, as you see, it's not just a private property issue. It certainly is a private property issue, but in the case of something like Walmart, it's a whole lot of other
things. Well, that should make the phone lines go wild here because we have limited it to the property rights, perspective here or a subject. But, we can talk about whether or not the community has the right to keep – if they can keep somebody out because they're a big corporation with a lot of money that underpays its employees by many standards,
and that's
then why can't they keep out Japs and Chinks and Kikes and other inferior people.
Sure, the slippery slope concept. First of all, I don't think that's a good way to discuss anything. I really think you need to discuss the merits of what we're talking about and leave it at that. You know, clearly, doesn't a community, for example, have the right to say to a private property owner, a big box store, for example, that you need to manage your traffic in a certain way? You can't just, let's say, have one entrance and everybody goes in that entrance and you destroy the timely ability for other people in your street to get out of their street. You know, we can say you need to put up a traffic light. We can negotiate with these people. But the bottom line is that what we don't need is somebody to come in and offer people jobs at under a living wage so that these people then have to depend on the largesse of the community, or our tax dollars, if you will, to survive.
Well, do they actually pay minimum wage at Walmart?
They probably pay a little bit above minimum wage, but all in all, with the lack of health insurance, with the fact that what they do, which is sort of sneaky, is they try to keep everybody part-timers as much as possible.
Uh-huh.
So you don't quite you don't get the benefits. And literally, you know, to pick up your mother's point, the fact is certain things in America are non-negotiable. It is ridiculous to let these people in Congress assume that they're better than we are, that they deserve better than we are. It is exactly that arrogance that we're seeing in the big box store, where I'm supposed to get billions as a son of an owner. I don't do anything for it, and the people who work all day long can't even feed and clothe, and more importantly, buy the health that their kids need.
Billy, thanks for calling.
All right, bud.
Okay, take care. There goes Billy Sunshine. Here comes Don, and I don't know where Don is from. Where are you from, Don?
SoCal.
Oh, it's SoCal, Don.
Right.
You're on, Don.
You know, sometimes when you have people on like the fellow was on today, you don't want to call because you want to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, okay,
so
good.
It's not a reflection.
I was hoping that was the case. Good,
yeah,
thank you for saying that.
Because I wanted to hear, and you sure learn a lot if you listen.
It's true.
Trouble is a lot of people talk and they never listen.
Thank you for bringing that up. Appreciate
All right.
it.
Thank you.
Oh, okay, you're done?
Yep.
Okay, here's another Don. Which Don are you, and where are you calling from?
Well, I'm from Aptos, but I'm in San Jose at the moment.
Oh, well, thank you for calling.
Boy, it's really wild, this guy who said he was sometimes called the loony on the left or whatever he was, the loony on the loose. Boy, he sure is.
Who are you talking about, the caller before last?
No, that was early on, some guy up in Washington.
Oh, are you talking about Roger?
Yeah.
Oh no, Roger is very well read, and he's very opinionated on just about every topic. But he
referred to himself as the loony on the loose.
Oh well, he was just being self-deprecating, I think.
But I agree with it.
He's really.
Okay. Where does it come in? The Constitution. I don't think anyone read it.
Hey Don,
I'm sorry?
That's what you sound like with your cell phone. Can you get to a better place or call us from a landline or something?
Well, I can't do that, but I'm stopped now. Is that any better?
Yeah, that's much better.
Okay. I don't know where this idea comes from that employers are responsible for people's medical care, and if they don't provide it, then they're taking money from the government. Does all the money belong to the government? And is the employer responsible for providing housing and transportation? My gosh, well, you know, some of these employers don't provide you a car.
Yeah.
And the idea that...
I don't think people should go around bad-mouthing employers because they agree to the terms of employment. And once they agree to the terms of the employment, how dare they bad-mouth the employer? Unless the employer reneges on what was promised, either in writing or verbally, now that's a different story. But so many times I think employers are hated by their employees, and all they're doing is providing the job and that the employee agreed to take on the terms and conditions.
I just
don't understand any of this, but that's the way people are.
And no one's going on putting handcuffs on people and dragging them into Walmart. They come in and apply for jobs.
Yeah.
You say they accept the terms?
Right. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Okay, well, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. That was Don on a cell phone in San Jose somewhere. It's 24 and a half minutes past 11 a.m. Gee, we got about 5 minutes before we're going to be calling our Andy Bernstein guest for the second part of the hour here. It looks like you're calling out, Jay. Are you near the radio where we can play the commercials for this hour so that we can use the whole 30 minutes to have Andy on with us? If not, I can just continue to talk. You give us a phone to call if you want to chip into the conversation, 479-1080 or 477-1340. And the topic has been Walmart and property rights. It will continue to be here. We have a different perspective from Andy Bernstein, author of The Capitalist Manifesto. And he is associated with the Ayn Rand Institute, an organization that I have very high regard for. And, yeah, I see he's on the line here. Real quickly, I'm going to read a... I'm going to read an email I just received from Terry Reed. Sam Walton used to sell American-made goods. The old man died in 1988. That's not true. It was 92. His four kids are responsible for the changes in selling mostly Chinese imports. Right on, Billy. Costco is a Democratic campaign contributor, according to public records. They pay union-level wages similar to other organized shops. One of those NIMBY hypocrites is running for county supervisor. His filing statement claims that Christopher Crone lives in the low-income, crime-infested Barson Street neighborhood. That is a rental owned by his rich relatives. The Crones actually occupy a $1.7 million mansion at 123 Green Street on the corner of Mission, according to activists' research. That's from Terry in Santa Cruz, and I hope it's true. If it's not true, somebody who knows differently should call in, 479-1080 or 477-1340. Email address mz@ksco.com. And fax number is 475-2967. The area code is 831. If you want to give us a call and join the conversation here, those phone numbers are 479-1080 or 477-1340. Okay, let's introduce Andy Bernstein. Andy, you're on the air.
Michael, good to be here with you.
How do you do? Yeah, you're back east somewhere in the state of New York, are you? Or?
Yep, I am living in the suburbs of New York City. So it's you know, beautiful Memorial Day weekend. Hey, I hope you're having good weather out there too.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's very nice, and you know, I intend to make hay on this wonderful, glorious weekend.
Great.
After the program here, so. I already read the press release put out by Ayn Rand that got me interested in interviewing you on the radio here. We had a great talk with Gail Connor, the attorney representing the city of Hercules in this Walmart controversy here. But you you have definitely a very, very different perspective from him. And I've got to tell you, normally, I mean, and traditionally, I am right on with you, but I learned something last hour that I wasn't aware of in talking with Gail, and that is that Walmart went ahead and purchased the property that had already had a zoning and a planning approval designation on it for something very, very, very different from what it wanted to do. And to me, that makes it a different animal from just a plain old property rights type thing. Now, were you aware of that?
No, I wasn't, but I don't think it changes the principle.
Okay, well, let's talk about your perspective, and maybe you'll turn me around again, because I'm one of these people who blows with the wind, and whoever I'm on the radio with last, I usually end up agreeing with.
Oh, that's not a real recommendation for yourself.
I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding.
But I mean, to me, the principle of eminent domain is immoral almost across the board. I think whether
you know, whether Walmart uses it to, you know, to have city councils steal land from property owners to sell to Walmart, or whether the city council uses it to, you know, forcibly prevent Walmart from buying property. Eminent domain is theft, pure and simple. I mean, it's the government initiation of force against property owners to basically steal their property. I know they say their market value, but they're still taking it from the
government. Well, they don't. In Santa Cruz, they don't pay market value. I can tell you that for absolute sure. There are two personal Zwirling family instances where that did not was not the case.
Well, I mean, that just makes it worse. But I mean, even if they do pay you market value for your property, in a free country, it's your property. I mean, if I own a home or a farm or anything, big business, small farm, residential home, and the government wants to build an interstate or build a Walmart or whatever it is.
Building an interstate is different. Building an interstate is different from building a Walmart. Would you grant that?
Well, it's practically different, but it's morally the same thing. It's still, in a free country, property rights have to be sacred. My land is my land, and the government can offer to buy it from me, but they can't force me to sell it to them. Morally.
I think I like you more and more.
I like you too, Michael.
So what you're saying is, forget about Kilo versus the city of New Haven, you know, that outraged a lot of people, and rightfully so, a year ago. But that, you know, eminent domain is nothing new. What is new is with that decision being handed down, is that eminent domain can now be used to benefit private property owners such as Walmart, it no longer has to be to build a bridge or to build a highway.
Yeah, well, and I think eminent domain in general, I think the Kilo case exacerbated it and made it worse. But I think eminent domain in general is government using its police powers to basically steal property owners, and I think as with many policies in our current mixed economy, it has no legitimate moral place in a free society.
So it's a violation of
property rights.
No eminent domain, period.
I said almost across the board. I think there was, remember, moral principles get applied in the context. So if, I think, the one exception I would make that I think is morally permissible is if the government can go into the civil court system and show objectively to the judges that the country is under grave military threat from the Nazis or the Islamists or whomever it is, and this is the only piece of property that is best for building a military base to defend the country. In that case, and only that case, if they can convince the judges that they're right, then I think it's in everybody's self-interest, including the landowners, to have the military base built, because our lives would depend upon it. But short of that, absolutely and objectively proven in the civil courts that this piece of property is necessary to defend the country. Short of that, I think there's no moral justification for eminent domain.
So if you were in charge, there would probably be no redevelopment anywhere.
What do you mean?
Well, redevelopment districts are the branches of local government that exercise the power of eminent domain. Am I right?
I'm only a philosophy professor, Michael. I'm not a lawyer.
Oh.
So you probably right. I'm sure you know much more about local politics and the legal issues than I do.
Well, it just seems to me that redevelopment is that a term that's not popular or not utilized very much in the East Coast, because here it's pretty popular.
I'm not familiar with the term, but I think
Well, you have areas that are blighted or that have sunk into disrepair and shabbiness and dilapidated buildings and so forth. Many municipalities out here, at least, have what they call redevelopment districts that are in charge of revitalizing those dilapidated areas of the city or county. And I think it's sort of a neat idea. I mean, sort of. I think it's a wonderful. How can anybody argue with wanting to make a place that's that has crime and drugs and bad people, a place that doesn't have crime and doesn't have drugs and has good people and is a nice place to visit, a nice place to go. So if they're using eminent domain and paying a fair compensation to a property owner, I think that's okay. I think it's a good thing.
Again, I think it's immoral. I think it's stealing whoever the homeowner's property is. I remember urban renewal 40 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's the same kind of a thing. They just call it something else now.
Yeah, and it was a disaster. I mean, first of all, it was a moral disaster of stealing God knows how many homeowners' homes from them. But practically, it means, in practical terms, it also means the government gets to plan out, you know, the local economy. It's basically socialism. The government is now planning out real estate development rather than private individuals on a free real estate market. And I think if socialism in general were a policy that led to increased prosperity rather than free market capitalism, then I think we would see Cuba and the former Soviet Union as the prosperous, or North Korea as the prosperous nations, and the United States and Hong Kong as the impoverished ones. And the exact opposite is true.
We are seeing China as the prosperous nation now, and they are, you know, a communist country.
Well,
relatively, what are you talking about? They own more of this country than we do now already.
No, but I mean, first of all, since Deng Xiaoping in the late 70s, China has started to move upwards economically because they started to introduce various reforms of private ownership and profit motive. They've allowed some people to own their own land, to sell their farm products in the marketplace, some people to own their own businesses. So they've introduced capitalistic elements into what under Mao had been an utterly socialized economy, and with good results. They're moving upward. But nevertheless, their standard of living doesn't compete with Japan or Hong Kong, you know, more fully capitalist countries.
All right. We're talking with Andy Bernstein, author of the book The Capitalist Manifesto, and we're talking about the Walmart controversy here in Hercules and the philosophical right of a person to use his property. Now, do you believe in zoning laws, Andy?
I mean, if zoning laws mean no. I mean, they basically tell landowners that you can you have to have residential areas here, you can't have a store, you can't have a school, you can't have an industry. And I think that's immoral. I think what happens in a free society is people exercise their rights as individual members of a free country to buy land and develop it as they choose.
Okay, so I do believe in zoning laws, but I believe in them being I don't believe in them being oppressive. I think there's something really important about a community. I don't think you can have an orderly community that has a hodgepodge of planning, where you have a McDonald's next door to a private residence or something. You know, it just doesn't make sense. However, forget about that. I mean, it is a fact that just about every community I know out here and where you are, I'm sure, does have zoning laws.
Absolutely.
And once you buy a piece of property, knowing what it's zoned for, that's what you got to live with. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's a little arrogant if you think that you're going to buy a piece of property because of property rights, that you have the right to change the zoning and get some sort of a special treatment for yourself. You know, I can't go that far, even though I'm a fierce property rights person.
Well, I think the principle should apply morally to all property owners, not just to somebody who wants to open McDonald's in an otherwise
residential neighborhood. Well, okay, and this is a perfect example here, the Walmart thing. I mean,
it's not like if the community did not want a McDonald's next door to them or a Walmart or whatever it is, it's not like they're defenseless in a free society. I mean, they could organize. First of all, they could make it clear to the prospective
just not go.
It's
the last thing that's said in the.
We're going to boycott your establishment. We're going to urge everybody we know not to go to your establishment, and we're going to undercut your business enormously. Under those conditions, the businessman is certainly going to think twice, probably three, four, or five times before he opens his business in a community where people don't want him. That's the point with Hercules. The
the community does want Walmart, as you know, Walmart's whole history shows. They attract God knows how many millions of customers per week, which is if the community had any say in the matter, voting with their pocketbook, Walmart would be open. That's why, that's the reason why the city council had to resort to the desperate measure of initiating force against Walmart, because they know that the community would generally welcome Walmart in terms of customers. If the community does not want Walmart, they don't have to shop there. They can
God, I wish you and Gail were on together. That would be great, the guy we had on last hour. Anyhow, Jay...
My point is there's no need... In practical terms, there would be no need to use force to keep Walmart out if the customers didn't want Walmart.
Yeah.
They wouldn't make money. Walmart wouldn't have opened a store there.
I understand. Just let the market forces prevail.
Yeah, let individuals choose where they want to buy. It means let you and I choose what stores we want to go to. You know, the liberals like to say freedom means choice in regards to abortion, and I certainly agree. Freedom also means choice in regards to Walmart or any other store, whether the customers want to shop there, or they want to shop at mom and pop, or they want to shop at one of Walmart's other competitors.
Interesting. We've got Joe from Salinas, SoCal Bob, and Joe from San Jose on the phone lines wanting to talk to Andy and our audience. But before we do that, stay on the line, gang, and if we have other lines available at 477-1340. We have about 20 minutes left, but we have the commercials here, I think, don't we, Jay? If we have some commercials here, I think now is a good time to play them, or should we go to one of the phone calls and just play the commercial afterwards?
Run the breaks.
Okay, run the breaks, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. So stay with us. You're listening to your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's MZ with a Saturday special.
Outdoors doesn't have to mean roughing it, especially when you have the latest camping gear from Outdoor World. A lightweight, ultra-comfortable sleeping pad, a weather-resistant tent, or a cozy, warm sleeping bag will make spending time in the great outdoors, well, great. Outdoor World has the latest gear for camping, hunting, or fishing. Check out the new drip coffee maker from Coleman, designed to fit on camp stoves, or the cool and sturdy stainless steel Coleman ice chests. You'll also find camp cookware, cots, lanterns, and accessories. Going fishing? Check out Outdoor World's selection of fishing poles, waders, boots, and tackle boxes. And duck hunters will love Outdoor World's selection of hunting rifles, ammo, gun safes, and camo clothing. With so much gear in one place, you're bound to find what you're looking for, and maybe something a little extra, like time. Shop Outdoor World in Monterey on Fremont Street, on River Street in Santa Cruz, and on 41st Avenue in Capitola. Look for their ad in the Good Times in Monterey County Weekly. Outdoor World. We gear you for adventure.
Helicopters for a day or helicopters for a lifetime? We got it right here at Specialized Helicopters.
Ever dream of flying a helicopter? Maybe you'd just like to go for a ride. Today's the day at Specialized Helicopters in Watsonville. Owner, Chief Pilot, Chris Gallardi.
Every day is a good day to go fly. So why not take advantage of that? Have some fun.
Watch the TV segment from the Travels with Romney TV show at travelswithromney.com or visit specializedheli.com. Specialized Helicopters at the Watsonville Airport and 24/7 at travelswithromney.com.
Great news! Our upcoming format change from mostly syndicated programming to mostly innovative local programming is already catching on, and we are selling out fast. Imagine having your own one-hour weekly talk show on 10,000 watt KSCO AM 1080 for only $450 per week. Talk to an audience reaching over one-third of California and throughout the world via our live internet stream. Use your show to build your business, advance your political or religious beliefs, get your candidate or yourself elected to office, or help get your initiative onto the ballot and passed. The power of talk radio and KSCO in particular is awesome. Use it and gain instant admiration and respect for yourself and or your cause. Own your own hour each week on KSCO AM 1080, the favorite radio station of intelligent people. Act now. Email me, mz@ksco.com, or leave a message on my voicemail by calling 429-2200. That's 429-2200. See you on the radio.
We're serious about that. People are picking up on that, and we're picking up some great new local programs. And, boy, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it hit me like a ton of bricks just a couple of weeks ago. Why in the world should we be a radio station like all the other radio stations when we live in such a vibrant community with a bunch of innovative, clever people? So, hey, put them on the radio. So, do it. MZ@ksco.com or 429 2200. Have your own talk show and you can build a great business or get somebody elected or whatever. So it's 11:43. Only have about 16 and a half more minutes remaining in the Saturday special. We have our special guest today, Andy Bernstein. He's a property rights person just like me. And maybe just like Joe in Salinas, who's on the air now. Joe, you're on.
Yeah, I sure wish, along with the others, I wish you'd have had your mother on to clarify your own personal situation that you folks went through, because I had an acquaintance who went through the same thing, and she was basically forced to sell her property, and she didn't want to sell it. Her store was not blighted in the least, but they wanted that property. They ended up using it for the Steinbeck Center over here in Salinas. But and in Monterey, you know, they've basically forced people out of their businesses to have like a lawn area and all that. And they say, well, you know, we've got like one more piece of property to go, and we've always got eminent domain. So, you know, we've basically got them by the you-know-whats. And it just seems like so heavy-handed.
By the balls?
By the whatever you want to call them.
By the balls.
By the attention centers.
Yeah.
But, you know, here, I mean, so basically when you know you're going up against something like that, I mean, it's like having the schoolyard bully there with his buddies and a big club over there. I think I want to give in to you. And, I would think that America would be a little bit better than that.
What do you think, Andy? What do you think about what Joe said?
I agree with him. I mean, I think it's an egregious violation of the principle of individual rights, which the country was founded on, and which makes America, in my judgment, morally the greatest country in the history of the world. And this is, property rights are part of an individual's right. You have a right to your own life, means you have a right to, earn money, to buy a car, a home, a farm, a piece of land, and it's yours. And I think as I stated before, I think if the government initiates force against a property owner to take his property against his will, there's a name for such a policy. It's called theft. I think there's no place in a free country such as the United States.
Okay. Go ahead, Salinas Joe, real quick, but we ought to get to other calls, though.
One of the pieces of property that Monterey got, they made a big show of trash in the place when they were tearing it down. They even had the Mayor Albert, throwing stones, breaking the windows. You can imagine the daughter of the man who built that business. She wrote a letter saying how upset she was that the hopes and dreams of her father and her happy memories were all in that, and they were treating it like a piece of crap.
Yeah. Okay. Well, gee, thank you very much for your call to the Saturday special.
Okay.
You added.
KSCOAM 1080, the station for intelligent people only. Stupid people must tune to another station immediately.
It must be. It has to be. With that big sound, it's gotta be.
And our next caller will be none other than Soquel Bob. You're on, Bob.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
You got screwed when the city took your property. There's no question about that, the way it was handled, the local justice.
And they still haven't done anything with it, you know, 10 or 12 years later.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, it was supposed to be taken. We're talking about 1549 Pacific Avenue, a post office, and that was taken because it was supposed to be put together with the Ron Lau property and to be built into a nice big thing, which made sense at the time, but they haven't done anything with it.
Finish what you're saying. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Bob. We don't need to talk about us. You called.
What the Constitution says, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation, the Fifth Amendment. And what that means, basically, is if you don't like what the Constitution says, you work to change the Constitution and do that locally. Now, in your case, getting back to your case, that was decided by a local judge who's passed away, I believe, since the decision was rendered.
I'm not sure that's true, but if it's true, good. The guy was a bastard.
Well, I won't go that far, but
yeah.
I know the guy that you're talking about.
Yeah.
The point is, all politics is local, And what you do, then local judges are elected by the people, unlike the Supreme Court. What you have to do is start locally to change the Constitution. And unfortunately, that's each case is different. Can I say something about the historical inventory?
Yes.
I had a good experience with my local super. With one of the, I owned a piece of property over there. Going to put my put it on a local historical inventory list. If you're familiar with that.
Uh-huh.
And myself and a number of other people appeared before the Board of Supervisors and got this local supervisor and the rest of the Board of Supervisors to take it off the list. So what you have to do is you have to be a political activist if you don't like what's going on and get things changed. This particular supervisor was Ellen Perry, and she was very reasonable in my case.
Uh-huh.
What I'm saying is get active and try to change things locally. Now, as far as private property being taken for public use, the implication there is that they can take your property if they pay for it, but each case is different. And we can wring our hands as much as we like locally. We've got to do something about it. You've got to get your hands dirty a little bit, get into square equity and to change things.
Yes, you do more than just call talk shows, Bob, and I appreciate that. You're absolutely right. That's the point that you always make, and no one can argue with it. You know, if you want to make things happen, you gotta work.
My wife brought up a point, and just before I got on the show, the Constitution says the government, in this case Congress, will provide for the general welfare. And I guess the local Congress trickles down to the Board of Supervisors and the state legislatures. They're doing what they feel is for the general welfare, which is Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18 of the Constitution. And so you can take any part of the Constitution you want and apply it. I don't think you or your guests would like, for example, a steel mill or a leather tannery next door to you. And, of course, you bring up zoning laws in this case. And the stench would be awful if the tannery was next door to your place, I'm sure.
And yes, so that's exactly
there are
right.
All kinds of ways this can be interpreted.
But if they were, but if the tannery was there first, Bob, I wouldn't buy property next door to the tannery, expecting that I could make the tannery go away. And
well,
that's what some people are, and I can't stand those kinds of people.
You wouldn't do that, neither would I. But other people would because they're not thinking people. And this is what you find all the time. And
it's what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine mentality.
Well, this applies in many different cases, too. And I don't want to get into Walmart because that's a separate topic. But anyway, thank you for listening to me, and don't let your meatloaf.
Oh, I was going to say the same to you. So I beat you to it. Neither of us will. Okay, there goes SoCal Bob, who was my high school government teacher 40 years ago. Oh, my gosh. Anyhow, here's Joe in San Jose, our next caller to the KSCO Saturday special. Welcome to KSCO with MZ and Andy Bernstein.
Andy, Michael, good show. I'm calling from the San Jose area with $2 billion redevelopment area, and we still don't have a downtown grocery store.
Oh, my God. Well,
Zanato's, is it open? Is it closed? It's closed. It's open. It's closed. It's open.
Well, thanks for listening to us from San Jose, or do you happen to be visiting there? You live in Santa Cruz, and you happen to be now?
I'm an expatriate over here, Michael. Oh. I tune in all the time. I have to tell you, they're not done with that. There's 30% of light industrial buildings are vacant, lease signs everywhere. And what are they planning to do? They're planning to spend $4 billion more opening up more light industrial land to light industrial development.
Oh, my gosh. Well, some people just have bleep for brains.
Well, we get to elect a new mayor this year.
Okay. Well, gee, thanks for calling in, okay, Joe?
Thank you.
I'm sure things will be better. We'll pray for San Jose. Okay?
And Santa Cruz as well.
Yeah, okay, absolutely. Although in Santa Cruz, they don't like that. Let's see, Dave from the Pinnacles. How's everything at the Pinnacles, Dave?
Well, it's beautiful up here. It's a very spiritual place.
Oh, wow. I want to come to
I love it here.
So, are you, like, living... Do you live in a house or a...
I caretake about a 2,000-acre ranch just north of the Pinnacles, and I got a beautiful view of the rock formation.
Oh, what a guy. I'm jealous. Can I come and visit?
No.
All right, I understand, because I'll probably talk about it and bring a bunch of people here, so I understand.
Well, anyway,
what'd you call about, Dave?
Well, what I called about was this outrageous eminent domain policy that's being perpetrated upon the good people of America, and I'd just like to remind all our good conservative Republican folk out there that this policy was upheld by a majority of Supreme Court justices. These justices were appointed by Republican presidents. So put that in your pipe, friend.
Okay, Andy, you must have something here. You must.
I don't.
Well, talk. Tell us what you're thinking here. Oh my God.
Well, thank you for that invitation. But I think it's a mistake to believe that because Republicans posture as supporters of capitalism, that therefore they actually are supporters of capitalism and individual rights. They are no such thing. The Democrats or the Republicans stand for the principle of individual rights. I don't think either party would uphold individual rights or property rights. I think the Republicans would look at it, would support eminent domain as a means for the government to steal land from property owners in order to open up, big businesses. And I think the Democrats would steal it in order to basically do the same, in order to increase tax revenue for the local government, with which the local government could then proceed to spend that money on welfare programs or whatever it is they're going to do with it. But the point is that neither the Republicans nor the Democrats support property rights, much less the broader principle of individual rights. So I'm not at all surprised that a conservative court appointed primarily by Republican presidents would strengthen the immoral, egregiously unjust principle of eminent domain.
Okay. So, caller in Pinnacles.
Hello.
Do you have a response before
we... Yeah, I kind of do have a response. My response is this is pretty much blatant proof that the political system and the spectrum that everybody's talking about, left and right and liberal and conservative, is just a bunch of hooey-pooey. And I don't believe any of it. It's just like he said. It's like this government is owned by these corporations, and they'll just go and put... Just like he said, well, people don't have to go to Walmart. You know, when an item costs 2 cents at Walmart and $3 at another store, people are going to go to Walmart. And what it is you just rub out the competition. You know, in the War of 1812, right after that, the British government figured out they could not militarily invade the United States. So they tried the next best thing. They tried to flood our market with manufactured goods and drive our manufacturing base under. And our good government at that time had the common sense to say, no, you're not doing that. You can't bring these products in here and dump them on our market and destroy our manufacturing. But now we got the Tories, we got the conservative redcoats running the show, and our manufacturing base is destroyed.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate
it. Get out of the Republican Party. They're nothing. They're evil. I'm telling you, man. You got to think this through.
Well, I've become an independent.
Exactly.
All right, thank you.
Goodbye.
Here's an Warren Seifert has sent an email or someone claiming...
Michael, can I respond to that briefly?
Yeah, quickly, because I want to read this email. It concerns you.
Because I think there's very poor economics in what the caller just said. First of all, I want to point out I'm a big supporter of private business and American corporations. It's the government control of the economy that's the danger. Walmart can't steal land from a property owner to open a store. It needs the government to impose eminent domain to do that. So the problem there is not Walmart. It's the government. Furthermore, dumping cheap goods on a country is a very good thing, because it means we get lower prices, means we save money, means we can invest in other businesses with the money we save. It's very good for the economy. It's never bad for the economy to pay higher prices for stuff. It's always better to pay lower prices. Adam Smith understood that in 1776.
Okay. Here's an email from Warren Seifert. Michael, Andy seems to be speaking strictly from a personal view. There certainly is no legal basis from what he is saying. Notwithstanding the goofy Kelo decision, government sometimes will attempt to take property unfairly, especially if it tries to not pay fair market value to the property owner. We have a case here in Gilroy where apparently the city is attempting to obtain a piece of property below market value for a city cultural center. If government did not have the power of eminent domain, there would be few roads or schools. The police power of eminent domain goes back to English law, and it is incorporated into our laws. What else does he think government isn't allowed to do? Not tax its citizens? Thanks, Warren. Okay, quickly. What's a quick response here?
Yeah, I do think that. I do think it's immoral for the government to tax its citizens. But the key point here is it's bizarre to think that there wouldn't be roads or schools on a free market. Where there's customer demand, there's going to be a satisfaction. You might as well argue that the bakeries need to be socialized, because if there's only private bakeries, there won't be any bread.
Okay.
The point, of course, is people want bread, and so there's economic demand, and bakeries open. If there's a demand for schools and roads, you will have schools and roads. You don't need the government stealing people's property in order to have schools and roads. In fact, anytime the government has the power to steal, you're moving towards socialism. I rest my case. I mean, 200 years of capitalism and 80 years of socialism and centuries of statism more broadly have shown us definitively which system produces wealth and spreads it widely across the society, creating a vast middle class. It's free market capitalism alone.
Oh, my God. Well, I wish we had more time. We've got to have you on again.
Well, let's do it again,
it's the end of the program. We'll give you more notice next time so we can have you on for more.
Great.
Thanks, Andy. Best of luck to you. This program will be rebroadcast tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight, or on demand at KSCO.com. Stay with us. KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, it's 12 noon. Here's Fox News.
Earthquake there.
There have been some collapsed structures and apparently some collapsed houses. At least one hotel apparently began to crumble. This is about 15 miles from the epicenter and has a population of about 500,000 people.
That's Anil Gutierrez of the U.S. Geological Survey. Nearly 3,000 confirmed dead, scores more injured. It's that nation's worst disaster since the 2004 tsunami. Both houses of Congress trying to find a compromise on very different immigration bills.
House Republican James Sensenbrenner, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, says he is willing to accept a temporary worker program for immigrants, but not citizenship for illegal aliens. That, he says, amounts to amnesty, which is a sticking point between the House and the Senate.
Fox's Kelly Wright. It's graduation weekend for many across the country, including at the Military Academy West Point, where President Bush paid tribute to those who served our country in the line of duty.
Each of you came here in a time of war, knowing all the risks and dangers that come with wearing our nation's uniform.
The president telling West Point graduates that America won't rest until the terrorist threats are removed. He used his weekly radio address as well to commend military efforts in establishing democracy in Iraq. Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial start of summer and one of the largest travel weekends as well. Millions literally expected to hit the road. There's giant traffic jams right now on I-95 in Philadelphia. And despite those gas prices in some areas more than $3 a gallon, people still heading out.
What we know is that historically, high gas prices alone do not prevent people from traveling. People may alter their travel somewhat, but historically it hasn't.
Many people hitting the roads, other people using air travel or the railways. That's Mantil Williams with AAA. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Hey, I'm Bonnie Raitt. Remember how excited you were as a kid to go back to school at the end of the summer? Seeing old friends, making new ones, getting new books in a new locker, a clean slate. And music class, that special room where you went to sing and perform with your friends and learn all sorts of interesting stuff about great composers and instruments and different kinds of music. We remember our music teachers because they were so passionate about helping us learn to love music. They help spark a love for listening to notes and voices and rhythms that continues to enrich our lives even today. Know what? I bet your kids feel the same way about music class. Ask them and make sure they get involved with music in school this year.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
Standing by their word, the Minuteman Project now beginning work on a fence along the U.S.-Mexican border.
The Minutemen are back. This time they're not monitoring the border, but building a fence on top of it in southeast Arizona. The goal this weekend is to build a quarter-mile fence. They're hoping to extend that to 26 miles. So far, the group has raised $400,000, but they need $10 million. Minuteman founder Chris Simcox is making good on his pledge that unless President Bush started building a fence, the Minutemen would.
We estimate we can build a mile of fence for $300,000. The government says it's going to cost us $3 million a mile. I think we can get it done for much less.
In southeast Arizona, William Majeness, Fox News.
Is he sleeping with the fishes or sleeping under the horses? The search continues at a horse farm in Michigan for the remains of former Teamsters boss Jimmy Hoffa.
It'll be a working holiday weekend for FBI agents in Michigan, still digging in search of the remains of Jimmy Hoffa, more than 30 years after he disappeared. The former Teamsters union boss was last seen outside a Detroit area restaurant, not far from the horse farm now being excavated. Agents say a credible tip led them to the farm, once owned by a Hoffa associate. Authorities have long believed that Hoffa was murdered by the mob over union control. Mary Regal, Fox News Radio.
The World Health Organization now asking the maker of Tamiflu, a potential bird flu vaccine, to begin stockpiling the drug after a possible human-to-human transmission of the virus may have been detected in Indonesia.
When we get that sustained human-to-human transmission, then we are concerned that there might be a candidate virus to cause an influenza pandemic, which then leads us to a new alert in the response.
That's Dr. David Nabarro with the UN Avian Flu Coordination Team, appearing on Fox News Saturday, stressing that at least for now, the cases are not a sustainable disease. Allison Slater, Fox News Radio.
www.kseo.com.
And you're listening to KSCO AM 1080 and KOMY AM 1340. It's 5 minutes past noon, and I'm Jay Cruz with a look at your I'm all over the place right now. Look at your Central Coast weather forecast for this Saturday, May 27th, 2006. Tonight mostly clear with northwest winds at 12 miles per hour with lows around 49. Sunday mostly sunny with west wind around 13 miles per hour and highs around 64. Sunday night mostly clear with northwest wind at 9 miles per hour with lows around 50. Monday mostly sunny, highs around 63. Monday night partly cloudy with lows around 50. And Tuesday calls for partly cloudy with highs around 65. Stay tuned to KSCO AM 1080 for perspectives. Stick around.